180 degrees. Good afternoon, Local 304. Ohio Valley District, Kentuckiana District, and as always, my branch, Columbus, Ohio. Welcome to a Monday afternoon podcast. Just one of those outstanding days. You ever wake up, and as soon as you gain consciousness, you realize that today was going to be one of those super days? No reason. You just feel it. Okay, let's talk about our podcast this morning. Earlier, we were talking about the apps, with regards to the apps. Now, a couple of things that I said I would do, I'm going to try and maintain that, is I said we talk more about the positions on the apps, and this afternoon, that's what I want to do. Now, I want to say this series of podcasts pertaining to the apps is directed at my branch, Columbus, Ohio. But if you still have, or if you have the apps machine in your facility, then I guarantee you that what I'm saying to Columbus will apply to you also. And for all the non-postal listeners of my podcast, I want to say, when you hear me say the apps, APPS is an acronym for a piece of equipment designed to move packages. In fact, the acronym stands for Automated Package Processing System. Remember that. The name of this piece of equipment is Automated Package Processing System, because as we talk more about this, I'm going to make it clear that the post office purchased this machine, this elaborate piece of equipment for package processing, and then decided they're going to process flat bundles, which don't constitute a package, on the same piece of equipment and expect the same results. So you are building a house in real wet sand, but for some reason, the Postal Service expects it to stand solid. Let's get into our podcast. Now, what I'm going to do this afternoon is we're going to talk about a couple of positions on the apps, but I'm going to start off giving you the feeder operator overview and the load area operator overview. Now, some might ask, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because I'm willing to bet most of the people who work on the apps today have never heard this. They learned their position from the person who held it previous to them, because the post office doesn't train. They expect, they'll usually do initial training, and then everyone else who bids into that area, well, you're just expected to learn this job by osmosis. And if you start to formulate your own way of your own process, well, that's not what the post office set up. And I believe in order for us to stay strong as a union, we have to understand the correct way that operations or procedures should be done. Then we can hold the agency accountable to ensure that they are done. Does that make sense? Okay, let's talk about a feeder operator overview. You know, what does the feeding operator do? And just so you know, I'm speaking to you directly from the training manual, okay? These are excerpts right out of the training manual that every employee who worked on the apps should have received. Okay, what does the feeding operator do? Well, helps to set up proper containers before a run starts. Operates the unload control button. Keeps the belt full of mail, ensuring the belt is not overloaded. Calls out non-machinable damaged, loose flats, debris, and out of specification mail pieces. Spreads bundles or mail piece over the load belt. Rebands bundles when possible. Removes mail from the recirculation belt. Now, according to what the post office would like to see, they'd like to see a minimum feed rate of 5,500 pieces. Again, they want to say the best is 6,000 to 6,500, but a minimum should be 5,500. Now, before I even go any further to the feeder operator, loading that belt is counterproductive, or overloading that belt is counterproductive to the efficient operation of that machine. But what do your supervisors tell you? Keep that belt full, keep it, you know, load that belt. So because they don't know, they put very silly, for lack of a better phrase, expectations on you, thereby creating kind of a stressful work environment, which we can all do without. Here's a quick little vicious cycle that it's so easy to get caught up in at work. Here's a cycle. Part of your job as a loader on the apps is to keep that mail spread out a couple of seconds in between each piece, not overload that belt. Now, here's where the cycle gets crazy. Supervisors already know they're not going to have the complement they need for an efficient operation. So one of the first things they do, and they get used to, is having that feeder dump on that belt so that the feeder does not have to stand there and spread mail as per his job qualifications, and that will allow that feeder to go do another task, because the supervisor, again, is well aware that they will not have a sufficient complement. So now they have to try and motivate each employee to do two or three different positions, which means none of them are getting done 100% as per the job requirement, but it helps the supervisor get through the operation. Does that make sense? Can anybody identify to what I just said? And I'm simply saying we have to stop that, unless that is just your natural work ability. Then if that's what you do, have at it. And to the rest of the post office, when I say the rest, outside of Columbus, Ohio in particular, I'm still researching and getting more information on that loader being level 4 to 5. I do understand that OSHA came into Columbus, and I guess some of the stewards that have been there for a while appear or seem to be aware of some kind of document left there by OSHA stating that it should be a motorized position when I talk about loading the apps. But nonetheless, in Columbus, it's already part of the bid. So now all we have to do in Columbus is stress the ELM section 233, I think it's point 3, that talks about when you have a bid with split levels, the higher level becomes the bid. So again, that part is specific to Columbus, Ohio, because we already have the bid as split time between level 4 and level 5. Okay, let's keep moving. The next position I want to give you a overview on would be the load area operator overview. Again, I am reading to you right out of the training manual or training module. I have excerpts from it. And it starts off with the time at rest for an unloader must be minimal to ensure high system throughput. A full container should always be ready and parked next to the unloader to minimize idle time. The unloader must be clear of all mail to insert next container. When removing a container, remove the retaining bar if necessary. Visually inspect mail to see if it is machinable and bundles have an OEL before inducting. Now, what an OEL is, it's an acronym for optional endorsement line, an address to read. Set up a stage area for empty equipment near the unloaders. Again, that's what the loader will do. So what I did was I just gave you a quick overview of the feed operator and a quick overview of the load area operator. Now, we're going to continue to talk about this because as a local president, it is imperative that I understand what it is my mail handlers go through on a daily basis, because it allows me to put up a better fight when I feel what you feel. So all I'm saying is I'm going to continue just talking about the apps. It might be old news to a lot of people, but we have a lot of brand new employees who have never heard what they're hearing on this podcast. Again, as we educate our members, 304, we're going to be strong. Now, I'm going to end this little section on the apps with an end to run procedures. And again, just an excerpt out of some training information that everyone probably should have received, but you know the post office. Once an end to run has been announced, all containers which contain mail pieces that have been called out must be properly placarded and staged for dispatch. Set up new containers for the next run and attach proper placards. Placards. I'm from New Jersey. Work with me. Assist the sweep operators with removing full containers and stage for dispatch. Assist the sweep operator with the setup of new containers for the next run. The next run cannot start until all containers are in place under the chutes. The changeover should be completed in no more than 30 minutes. Now, I'm sorry, I gotta say this. How many times have you been in the process of setting up that apps? And no, it's not set up. No, it's not even close to being set up. And you hear those lights, you see the lights and you hear that machine starting up. And then you have to run around and push the pause button so mail, if any is on the belt, don't roll on the floor. But again, right against the procedures. And if we don't know the exact procedures, then we get so used to the post office doing that now that I understand it should not start until all containers are in place, that might present a 1767 being the post office creating an unsafe work environment now that I understand that they're not supposed to do that. And the changeover. See, I like this when they talk about a changeover. End of run procedures. When you talk about a changeover should be completed in no more than 30 minutes, how many people are we talking? Is that with 5 people? Is that with 6 people? Is that with 25 people? So to the Postal Service, I say, if your changeover is 30 minutes with 20 people, then how about a little consideration when you only have 8 trying to do it? You know what I'm saying? Can we just do the math here and understand we're going to need just a little more than 30 minutes? 180 degrees, new direction. That's the platform that I'm seeking the local presidency on. I ask that you support because this is how I lead. This is what I do. And believe me, I'm going to go to work for you. I don't know any other way to put it. Kenny Hodge, local president, and William Kirkland, vice president, let's change our local headquarters, and we're going to change it for the better.